Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm going to speak just for a few minutes, from 2 Samuel chapter 9. I want to read this chapter to you. It's a very beautiful picture of God's grace. God's grace. And I want you to see this. And I have just a few statements I want to make about it. But we're going to read the chapter very quickly. It's just short verses. Verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 9 says, "And David said, Is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness?" Notice what he says, "for Jonathan's sake." Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." And the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He's crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel of Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Maker to the son of Amiel at Lodabar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always." And he paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to his house, to all his house, I have given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him, shall bring in the produce, that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. This is one of the most beautiful pictures of God's grace to people. Jonathan was Saul's son, and he and David were close as brothers. We read that in 1 Samuel 18:1. It says that their souls were knit together from the time they knew each other. They were bonded together in unity. And in verse 18:3 of that same chapter, it says that Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Now this is sometime about 10 years after David had been running from Saul. He's already assumed the throne. He's on the throne, and he is wanting to show grace. He's wanting to remember the friendship that he had with Jonathan, and remember that all of the love that they had, and how they were such good friends. And so he wants to extend this grace and this kindness to one of Jonathan's descendants. He wants to extend his kindness and grace. And then it says, "for Jonathan's sake." Notice that in verse 1. "Who is a descendant of Jonathan." And so David finds out about Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. And notice what it says there in verse 1. "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And then in verse 3, it says, "And the king said, Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God to him?" And then he said, "There's a son of Jonathan. He's crippled in his feet." And we see some things here. And I want you to notice this right off the bat is that Mephibosheth didn't run to David and say, "Remember me." It was David, the king, who remembered Saul's grandson, his son's son, Mephibosheth. And remember, he's lame in both of his feet. And here he is. David went after this young man. He's the one that extended grace. He was the one that sought him out. And the king's kindness and grace caused him to act first. And remember this. In your sin, in all of the sin of your life and the things of your life, it was always God who acted first to bring you to Himself.
Amen.
You didn't do anything to commend yourself to God. You did nothing at all except make that sin which was necessary for your salvation. That's all you had on your account. And God extended grace. He sought you out. He's the one that came looking for you. He was the one that came looking for you with grace. Now we have to remember that. That's a beautiful picture. And then so David sends for Mephibosheth. We see that, and he appears before King David in verse 7. And notice what David says. Don't fear. He said, I'm going to show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always. Listen, further grace is shown to this young man who's crippled in both his feet. He can't walk. He has to have some kind of aid to walk. I don't know what they had back then, but this young man had, if you read in earlier chapters, that he had been dropped as a young child, and he had probably sustained some type of maybe injury to the brain or to his legs, but either way, he was crippled. He was lame. And so we see that this place where he's at, Lodabar, that means pastureless. It means a waste, barren place. And it's the same thing when God came to you in your sin, you were in a barren place. You were alone. You didn't have anything. You had no resource. You were in a place of a desert wasteland in sin, and God came to you in His grace and brought you out of that and put you in a pasture. He didn't put you in pastureless places, in a barren desert wasteland. He brought you to Himself. And in Psalm 23, we read about that he shall make me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And so here the king, he goes and he gets him. He tells us very plainly that he goes and he gets him. And he goes and brings him out of that place. In verse 5, he brings him out of this place called Lodabar. This is what God's done for each and every one of us. Now, there's just a few things I want to say about that. There was nothing in this man, Mephibosheth, that would beautify a king's table. Nothing. He was lame in both of his feet. He was probably at that time in Israel would have been a scourge of society because those people were looked down as someone who had done something wrong. Yet the king is going to him and saying, hey, I've got something for you that you're not going to expect. You're going to have a place at the king's table every day. And there was nothing that about this man Mephibosheth that would enhance a royal dinner table. Yet he continually always had a place at the king's dinner table. And why is that? Why is it that David was showing this kind of grace to this man? Well, it's because in the countenance of Mephibosheth, David could see Jonathan. You see that? David could see Jonathan, and there's nothing about you or I that would enhance or add anything to God's abundant grace. There's not one thing that I could do to enhance that. But still, the Lord indulges. He indulges, and he causes us to freely He gives Himself to us because He sees in our countenances His Son. You see that? When you've been born again, when you've been brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is that God sees not you in your sin anymore because you've been covered with the righteous robes. He sees the righteousness of His Son, and because of the promise made in eternity past, beloved, get this, He shows favor to you and He gives you everything you don't deserve. Amen. This is what God has done for us. Listen, God's children are dear to God on account of another. They're dear to God on account of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's why you're dear to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you're dear to God. That's why God brought you to Himself. It's because of the work of Christ. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Him, I want to tell you something. You need to know Him. You need to have this righteousness applied to your life. You need to have this. I want to show you something else, though. We see here in verse 13, it says, so Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. I want to show you that God's grace overcomes our sin. His grace overcomes our sin. Sin has disabled every one of us. Every one of us have a disability. All of us are born with this disability. All of us are born with a state of sin in our lives. We have that in our lives. And sin has left us lame. It's left us disfigured. But because of God's grace in the provision of Jesus Christ, that deformity will not rob us of privileges that we have in Christ. It didn't rob Mephibosheth when we see this picture of David's grace to him, and it doesn't rob us either. Because why? Well, it's very simply because God's abundant grace has overcome our sin. Matthew 1:21. I love this text. When Joseph was wondering about Jesus being born, didn't even know His name, and the angel said, you're going to call His name Jesus. Why? Because He shall save His people from their sin. His people. Every person who comes to Christ is saved from their sin. They're saved from the penalty of it. They're saved from the power of it over their life. And then one day they're going to save from the very presence of it. And also you think about the prodigal son. You see the father taking the shame, and he puts the robe around his son, and he clothes him with those righteous robes, and that dinner table hid the feet of Mephibosheth. You couldn't see him. And he was given royal robes to eat dinner in. You and I are given the royal robes of Jesus Christ. I don't think we understand truly everything that God has done for us in the person of Christ because of the flesh we still have to deal with. But beloved, we need to be reminded every day of the work of God through the person and work of Jesus Christ. His deformity didn't keep him from coming to Jerusalem. We see that in verse 5. It tells us that King David sent and he brought him. And God did the same thing for you and I when we were in our sin. He sent the Holy Spirit and the Spirit brought us into a saving relationship. Listen, beloved, there's many people that come to church, but there's some that don't come all the way to Christ. They refuse the free offer. Listen to me this morning. If you're here and you don't know Him, what are the affections of your heart right now? Do you have affection for Christ? Do you love Him because of what He's done for you? Not just up here in the head, but right here with the heart, because with the heart it leads to repentance, and with the heart it leads to obedience, wanting to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God's done for us. God's grace doesn't stop at just sending for you. No, He brings you all the way in. So as we close this out, just very quickly, I want to show you that this is God's grace to you and I this morning, right now, today. Today is the day of salvation, right now. Paul says where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And this, you can't out-sin God's grace in your life. You can't out-sin it because God's grace abounds all the more. One of my most favorite songs that we sing sometimes is called His Mercy Is More. It says this, what love could remember no wrongs that we've done? Omniscient, all-knowing, He counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins there are many. His mercy is more. God's mercy is more. It's able to overcome all of your difficulty and your deformities and your disfigurements because of sin. He's able to bring you to Himself. He's able to give you a new life in Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that life, my friend, you've never been converted, because salvation is transformational. It changes the life. It changes the thoughts. It changes your whole desires. It gives you a life that is situated and centered around the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's why the gospel never gets old. That's why we love to hear about it. Every day I can talk about the gospel. It's the greatest thing that I've ever heard in my life, because it changed my life. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He has made Him to be sin for us, He who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. This is what God's done for you and me. He's given us a place at the table. Forever, not just one day, not just for a dinner, not just for Sunday afternoon, no, for eternity. Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. Father, I pray that You would be with us during the singing time. Father, I pray, Lord, that You would be with my brother as he brings Your word. Father, I pray that You would bless Your people. Father, You convict the lost. And Father, that You would edify those who are saved, strengthen, give assurance, Father, and give us strength, Lord. We beg it all in Jesus' name. Amen.